This is a chazara of 29 of the key rashis in Parshas Shoftim. And as we always say when we do this, this is not a valid representation of every rashi, obviously. And those who wish to do Shnai Mikra with rashi should try their best to do every single rashi. But for those who are not holding by that, or they just want to chazar over some of the rashis, hopefully this will be helpful. And I think the Chinuch counts 41 mitzvos in this week's Parsha. So we're not going to even touch the surface of the halachos. We'll do a few of the halachos that Rashi, some of the more famous ones, and some of the themes that Rashi discusses in terms of the hashkafa of some of the mitzvos. So let's get started. Our first one is in the first pasuk. So the Torah says, "Shoftim b'shoterim ki tein lecha b'chol sharecha asher Adonai Elohecha nosein lecha l'shvatecha v'shaftu es ha'am mishpat tzedek." Right. So you should place judges and policemen in all of your gates that Hashem is going to give to your Shvatim, and you should judge the people a righteous justice. So Rashi, Divar Maschil, Shoftim, says, what's the difference between Shoftim and Shotrim? Shoftim Dayanim, Haposkim Esadin. Right, the Shoftim are the ones who give the Psak Halacha, the Shotrim Harodin Esa'am, Achar Mitzvasam, and the Shotrim are the policemen who get the people to listen to the Hiske Halacha of the commandments of the judges. Shemikevan, I'm sorry, Shemakin, the Kofsin, the Makel, Ritzua, Adshi Kabbalah, Love, is Dinah Shofate. They beat you up a little bit until you actually accept the judge's decision. Fine. Moving now to Pasuk Gites. Next Pasuk. Lo satem mishpat. Do not pervert justice. Lo sakir panim. Don't show favoritism. Lo sikach shochad. And don't take bribes. Ki ashochad ya'aver enei chachamim yisalef divrei tzadikim. Because bribes will blind the eyes of the wise and will make crooked the words of the righteous. So we see the koach of bribery and favoritism in this particular pasuk. So we're going to do the second velo, right? Velo sikach shochad afilo lishpot tzedek. Don't take bribes even to do a just decision, meaning you won't know the difference. But next Rashi discusses further, right? Ki ashochad yaver. I wasn't planning on doing it, but let's just do it already. Mishikibel shochad mimenu iefsher shlo yates libo etzlo lafech bischusel. Right. Once you accept a bribe from somebody, it's almost impossible for you to not see a zechus for that particular person. And therefore, even though you consider yourself very fair and very just, the shochad will blind you, and therefore you should not take a bribe even to be done the din as you see it. Moving now to Pasuk Chaf Beis, says, "V'lo sakim l'cha matzeva asher sanei Hashem Elokecha." Do not make a pillar that Hashem, your God, hates. So this is interesting because we find in Parshas, in Sefer Bereishis, that the Avos did this all the time. They made a pillar, they brought korbanos, they poured oil on it, etc. So Rashi over here, the Ramaschil Asher Sanei says, Mizbeach Avanim, Mizbeach Adama Tzivalasos. HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded us to make Mizbechos out of stones, out of earth. Ve'es Zu Sanei. And this he hates, Kicho Koysel HaKananim. Because this is something that the non-Jews used to do, the Kananim. Ve'afal Pishoisa Ahuva Lo Bimea Avos. Even though Hashem loved it in the days of the Avos, Achshav Sana me'achar she'asu'ua elu chok l'avodah zarah. Now Hashem hates it because they made it into a way of worshiping their avodah zarah. Okay, moving now to Perek Yud Zayin, going all the way to Pasuk Tes. So the Pasuk says, "Uvasa el ha'kohanim ha'leviyim ve'el ha'shofet asher yeh b'yamim ha'hem." And when the previous psukim we're discussing, you have a major machlokes locally. So where should you go? You should go to the Kohanim, the Levim, the judges that you have in those days. V'darashta v'higidu lecha eis dvar hamishpat. And you should darshan, and they should tell you what the official word, the halacha, is. So Rashi over here, this is a common Rashi we find. V'el ha'shofet asher yeh b'yamim ha'hem afilu eino kishar shoftim. Even if he's not as great as the other judges, shahayu lefanav, that used to be in the old days. Atatzarach lishmali, you still have to listen to him. Ein lecha el ha'shofet she'biyamecha. You only can listen to the judge who exists in your generation, right? And this is Rashi elsewhere has the idea, yiftach bedoro kishmul bedoro. Obviously Shmuel, one of the all-time greats of the Shoftim, if not the greatest of all the Shoftim. And you have Yiftach, who was by far the least Talmud Chacham of all the Shoftim, probably. And therefore, you still have to listen to Yiftach if he's the Shofet in your generation. Now, moving to Pasuk Yud Aleph. Al Pi HaTorah Asher Yoruha Ve'al HaMishpat Asher Yomru Lecha Ta'aseh. Right? So when you get the psak from the Sanhedrin, you have to follow the Torah that they teach you and the justice that they tell you. You cannot turn away from the word that they tell you, neither to the right nor to the left. Famous Rashi, Yaminu Smol, Afilo Omer Lecha Ala Yamin Shuhu Smol Val Smol Shuhu Yamin. Right? Even if he says to you, and now this is obviously not if he's wrong, but he says it to you in a way that it appears that what you think is right is really left, and what you think is left is really right. And obviously, if he says something to you that makes perfect sense to you, then you have to follow. But either way, you have to follow the words of the Sanhedrin, even if it's not something that you would have thought on your own. Moving forward to Pasuk Gimel. We're talking here about killing the Zaken Mamre, and it says, V'chol ha'am yishmu v'yirou, v'lo yizidun od. The entire nation should hear, and they should fear, and they should not go against they should not sin anymore. B'mezit. Right, so Rashi over here says, what do we learn from V'chol ha'am yishmu? Mikan shemamtinim lo ad haregel. We see from here that Zaken Mamre is one of the few times that you wait until the Sholosh Regolim to kill him. Kill him during the Sholosh Regolim, so everyone is there and they can witness that he is killed. A couple of other places where we have this, but Zaken Mamre is one of them. Moving now to Pasuk Yeches. V'haya kishivto al kisei mamlachto, and it is when, we're just talking about the king, when he sits on his throne, v'chasav lo es mishnei ha-Torah zos al sefer milifnei ha-Kohanim halvim. He has to write two copies of the Torah in front of the Kohanim and the Levim. Now, what is this talking about? Rashi says over here, the Ramasal es mishnei ha-Torah, shtei sifrei Torah. King has to write two sifrei Torah, achash hi munachas b'bayis, beis kenazav, one he has in his treasury, meaning one he keeps in an aron kodesh, v'achas shenichneses v'yotzeis imo, and one comes out and goes in with him, and he keeps it with him at all times. V'unkel es tirgim pas shegen, Peser Mishnah Lashon Shinun V'Dibur, right? And Unkelus has Lashon Pas Shegen. I don't know if you remember it from Nicholas Esther. We have that Lashon Pas Shegen Aksav, right? And he said, what does it mean? He says that it means something you learn and you talk in all the time. So the king should always be learning from his Sefer Torah and talking in Torah as much as he possibly can. Moving to Perek Yud Ches Pasuk Gimel. So now we're talking about the matanos that we give to the Levi. This is the judgment of the Kohanim from the nation. From those who shecht, whether it's an ox or a sheep. You have to give to the Kohen the foreleg, the front leg, from the knee down. The lechayim is the jaw, and the keva is one of the stomachs. So what is the symbolism over here, says Rashi? The Ramasal was starting with the Halach Yayim. Dorshe Rishumo, so you omrim, Zroa Tachas Yad, Shenem Avikach Romach Biado. So those who make drushes, they say, what's the significance and the symbolism over here? Because when Pinchas took a Romach, he took a spear to kill Zimri and Cosby in his hand, so then the Kohanim get the Zroa as out of that Zechus. Lachyayim Tachas Tfila, Shenemar Vayamod Pinchas Vaypalel. It says in Tilum that Pinchas was a great davener. He stood up and he davened. And so therefore the Kohanim were Zoche to the jaw. V'hakeva Tachas Aisha El Kuvasa. Right? Because of the fact that he stabbed through them, and specifically Zimri into her stomach. So therefore the Kohanim were Zoche to that particular Matana as well, that they get the Keva. Okay, moving to Pasuk Tes. You're coming to the land Hashem is giving you. You should not learn to do all the abominations. Here referring to the vodazaras that the people did. Rashi, lo silmad lasos, avalata lamad lahavin lahoros. But you can learn about the way they worshipped the vodazara to understand and to teach. What do you mean, klomar? Lahavin maseim kamehim kokon, to see how bad their actions are. Lahoros levanecha lo sasekach v'kach shizeu chol kagoyim. You're allowed to know enough to tell your kids what not to do, right? And this, like the, I guess it's similar to the Mishnah in Perkei Avos v'da mashe tashiv lapikaris, right? So you have to know enough to say what not to do. You can't only know what to do. You also have to know a little bit to say what not to do. Fine. Moving to pasuk yud. Lo yimatzei v'cha ma'avir b'no v'ito ba'esh, shouldn't have anybody passing his children through a fire. Koseim kesamim, or somebody who does magic. Ma'oneinu menachishu machashiv. And anyone who does any of these superstitions, Rashi will discuss what are all of these things. So Rashi says, Divra Maschil Kosein, Samen, Ezu Kosein, what is a Kosein? Ha'oches es maklo v'omer im eilech im lo eilech. He holds like what we call a divining rod. He holds a stick and he tries to see what direction it's pointing in to know, should I go, should I not go? L'chein hu omer, I'll skip the rest of the Rashi, ma'onein, what's a ma'onein? Rabbi Kiva omer, elu nosne ono, she'omrim ona plonis yafe lahaschil. Right, so Rabbi Kiva says, and ma'onein is, you say, this is a lucky time, this is not a lucky time. L'chachamim omrim, elu okse ha'inayim. No, this is sleight of hand tricks, like what we call, I guess, nowadays, illusions or magic shows. Menachesh, what's nichush? Pito nafla mipiv. Let's say bread falls out of his mouth, or tzvi of sika v'derech, or a deer cuts him off on the road. Maklo nafa miyago. Or he drops his stick out of his hand, meaning nowadays what we call superstition, bad luck. Like now we don't have a bad of a deer passing, but if a black cat crosses your path, etc., that is an example of menachesh. Pasukid gimel. And the flip side of all of that, tamim tiyeh im Hashem Elokecha. You should be complete with Hashem, your God. So what does that mean? Rashi says, hisalech imo b'tmimus. Walk in front of him with simplicity, with completion. Utitzap elo. And wait for Hashem to act. Velo sachkor achar asidos. Don't cheshbin what's going to be in the future so much. Elokol mashiyavo elecha kabel b'tmimus. Whatever Hashem brings your way, accept it completely. Ba'az tiyeh imo. Right, and then you will be with Hashem, and you will be of Hashem's portion. You should just have simple bitachon in Hashem that everything will happen exactly the way He wants it to happen. Next pasuk, ki agoyim ha'ela asher atah yoreisho sam el ma'onanim el kosim yishmo, because all the non-Jews, they listen to all of these superstition and nonsenses. Va'atah lochei nasan lecha Hashem elokecha. Right, and Hashem did not do this for you. And the psukim continue by describing that Hashem has given you something so much better. He's given you a Navi. He's given you an actual prophet who hears the word of Hashem. But specifically here, Rashi says, Lo kenosan Hashem lecha Hashem lekecha lishmol ma'onin melkosmim shahariyat hishur shechina l'neviyim, because Hashem put His shechina onto prophets, real neviyim v'urim v'tumim, and He gave you the Kohen Gadol who can read the Urim v'tumim and tell you the actual Ratzon Hashem, so you don't have to sit there and try to guess. Pasuk Chaf, ach ha-navi. No, so now we're talking about a Navi who says something that was a false prophecy. Ach ha-navi asher yazid l'daber davar b'shmi asher lo tzivisiv l'daber. A Navi who purposely says something that I did not command him to say. V'asher yidaber b'shem Elohim achirim, or he prophesies in the name of false gods, umeis ha-navi. So that Navi has to die. Rashi, divra maskel umeis. B'chenek, right? He says he's killed with chenek. Shlosha misasa mide adam, right? There are three types of prophets who get killed by man. Hamisnave amashal Hashem. If you give a prophecy that Hashem, you didn't hear from Hashem. Umashalo nemar lo, the nemar lechaver. Or you give a prophecy that you know you didn't hear, but you know your friend heard it, your other navi heard it, but that doesn't, you're not allowed to. Hamisnave b'shem avodah zarah. And if you give nevuah for avodah zarah. Avala kovesh es nevuah so. But if you hear a nevuah and you refuse to give it over, va'over al divrei navi, or if you violate the words of a navi, meaning a navi says you have to do X, and you say, I can't do it, I can't bring myself to follow that nevuah, so va'over al divrei atzmo, or a navi who violates his own nevuah, misasim b'dei shemayim. All of those are subject to misasim b'dei shemayim, not misasim b'dei adam, shenemar anochi edrosh me'imo. Hashem says, I will take it up with him, and not, you don't have to give him misas beis din. Okay, moving now to pasuk chaf beis. Asher yidaber anavi b'shem Hashem v'lo yiyah davar v'lo yavo. Right? So let's say a Navi, this is what the previous pasuk said, how am I supposed to know the difference between a true prophet and a false prophet? So the answer is, if the Navi tells you something is going to happen and it doesn't happen, hu adavar sholo dibro Hashem. Obviously Hashem did not say this. B'zadon dibro anavi lo sagor mimenu. This Navi purposely violated the Torah and you should not be afraid of him. So says Rashi, divar maschal, asher yidaber anavi v'yomer he says something's going to happen. You see, it didn't happen. Hashem didn't say this, so you can kill him. So you'll ask, this is only if guys predicts the future. Let's say a Navi just says, do this. I want everybody to jump up and down 10 times because Hashem said so. HaMitzvos lo sishmalo. So you know that if he tells you to violate one of the mitzvos HaTorah, you're not supposed to listen to him. Elim kein mumche hu lecha shu tzadik gomer, unless he is well established that this guy is a tremendous tzadik. Kigon Eliyo Bahara Carmel. Right, so like for example, the famous showdown between Eliyahu HaNavi and the Nevi'e HaBaal at Har HaKarmel, where he brought Shehikr Babama B'Shas Isser HaBamos Kedei Ligdor Es Yisrael. He violated an Isser Kares by bringing a korban outside of the Beis HaMikdash. When the Beis HaMikdash is standing, you can't bring a korban anywhere else. And yet he did it because the Jewish people needed it at the time. Because this is all allowed if it's to try to fix a major problem that exists in Klal Yisrael. That's why it says specifically you have to listen to him. So if the Navi is doing something on a temporary basis to fix a major problem that's going on, then you're supposed to listen to the Navi even if he tells you to violate the Torah. Unless he tells you to worship Abu Dazar, then you're never allowed to violate it. Okay. Moving to Pasuk Perek Yud Tes Pasuk Yud Aleph. If a man hates his friend and he ambushes him and he kills him, and then he runs to one of the Ari Miklat, and the Pesukim continue that the Ari Miklat don't protect him. But Rashi has a comment here. Right. So why did he attack him? Why did he kill him? Because he hated him first. Mikan Amru. Over Adam al mitzvah kala, sofal avar al mitzvah chamura. Person can violate what seems to him to be a small avera, and it could lead to a much bigger avera. Lefisha avar al lo sisna, right? He violated the isser of hating another Jew, sofal avoli de shvichas dam. Eventually, he ends up killing somebody. Kach nemer v'chiyya ish sonei l'reo. That's why the pasuk phrases it the way it does. Shehoyel alichto v'chiyyakob yivshar l'reo v'ko nefesh. Rashi here explains himself much more than he usually does, but you see what he's talking about, that the Torah could have just said, if somebody kills somebody else on purpose, the end. Why does he have to say, somebody hated him, and that's why he ambushed him, and that's why he killed him? No, because he wants to tell you the important message that it's a cycle. You don't start off wanting to kill somebody. You start off violating the Isser, hating another Jew, God forbid, and then you end up actually performing the act of killing. Now, moving to Pasuk Yud Zayin. V'amdu shnei anashim asher lohem hariv, the two men who have the fight stand up lifnei Hashem, in front of Hashem. Hashem here doesn't mean Hashem literally, it means the Dayanim. Lifnei ha-kohanim v'ashe oftim asher yu b'yamim ahim, in front of the Kohanim and the judges that are in those days. And this is the Rashi we mentioned before. He says over here, Yiftach bedoro kishmuel bedoro, tzarech atalino bo kavod. Yiftach in his generation is the same as Shmuel was in his, and you have to give him the same amount of honor, even though you could sit there complaining, I wish we had Gedolim like we used to have in the good old days. Nevertheless, you're still absolutely chayev to listen to Yiftach, just as you were chayev to listen to Shmuel. Pasuk Chaf Aleph now, lo sachos einecha, right, your eye shall not pity, right? So what are we talking about over here? We're talking about in general, when you come to the halachic conclusion in a Beis Din, nefesh b'nefesh, a soul for a soul, ayin b'ayin, an eye for an eye, shein b'shein, a tooth for a tooth, yad b'yad, hand for a hand, regel b'regel, and a foot for a foot, and very, very important, Rashi, the Ramaskal, ayin b'ayin, mamon. It's not talking about actually poking out the guy's eye, it's talking about money, l'chein shein b'shein, v'gomer. In all of these cases, as Torah Shabbat Peh tells us every single time, ayin tachas ayin, ayin be'ayin, does not mean you actually poke out the guy's eye, it means you pay the value of such. Okay, now we're moving into Perek Chaf, Pasuk Aleph, ki seitzei la milchama l'oyevecha, if you go out to war against your enemy, v'ra'isa sus v'rechev amrav mimecha lo sira mehem, you see they have a lot of horses and chariots and a tremendous army, do not fear them, ki Hashem elokecha imach, Hashem your God is with you, amalcha meretz Yisrael, he's the one who took you out of Mitzrayim. We're going to do Rashi divar hamaskel ki seitzei la milchama, samacha kasuv yitzias milchama lekan. We just got done saying ayin b'ayin, etc. So we're saying a person who's missing a limb doesn't go to war, doesn't join the Jewish army. Davar acher, another explanation. If you try your cases, if you have batei din that do the right thing, you're promised that if you go out to war, you're going to win. Chin David who omer asisi mishpat v'tzedek. Right, so David HaMelech said specifically, don't give me over to my oppressors because I judged properly. al oyevecha, says Rashi, yiyu be'einecha ko'oyevim. Right? You should view your enemy as actual enemies. Al terachim aleihem ki lo yirachamu alecha. Do not have pity on your enemies, because they will not have pity on you. This is a very klal gadol. The Torah stresses many times. Rashi stresses it many times. We'll see it again at the end of this parsha. You, when you're fighting a war, it's a war. You don't sit there worrying about how the other guy is going to feel. Moving to pasuk Dalet right now. Another explanation of why you're not afraid. The Mashuach Milchama gives a speech and he says, "Don't be afraid. Ki Hashem Elokeichem Ha'olechim Lachem, Hashem your God who walks with you, Lilachem Lachem Im Oyevechem Loshiaschem, to battle with you against your enemies to save you." Says Rashi, Ki Hashem Elokeichem Heim Boim Binitzchono Shel Basar V'Dam. They're coming with the victory of humanity. Va'atem Boim Binitzchono Shel Makom. You're getting out there for the fight of the victory of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Plishtim bo b'nitzchono shel Goliath. The Plishtim came fighting with the strength of Goliath. Mahaya Sofa, what happened to him at the end? Nafal v'naflu amo. Right? He fell and his nation fell together. It's actually Imo. And they fell together with him. Fine. Moving forward to Pasuk Ches. V'yosfu ha-shotrim l'daber el ha'am. So now the Mashiach Milchama is finished talking about who's afraid. And they're allowed to go back. The cases that are exceptions to the rule of who has to join the army. And then the Yasra Shotrim Ladaber La'am Omeru Mio Isha Yare Viracha Levav Yelech Yasho Levesa. Who is actually afraid? Let him go home. The Lo Yimasis Levav Echav Kilvavo. Let him not melt everybody else's heart. He's going to make everybody else afraid like he's afraid. So we want him to go home now. So now we the Rashi over here, Hayarei V'racha Levav, Rabbi Akiva Omer, Kimashmao. Rabbi Akiva says, it's talking about a coward. She'enu yachol lamod b'kishra mochama v'liros cherev shlufa. He can't see the weapons drawn in front of him. He's gonna flip out. He can't fight a war. Rabbi Yosef Glili Omer, no. Hayarei me'averos shebiado. He's afraid because he's done averos. V'lekach tolsolo Torah lachzor el bayis v'kerem v'isha. That's why the Torah gives him the opportunity to go back together with the people who built a new house, who planted a vineyard, who just got married. It's to cover up for those who are going home because they're afraid of all the averas that they did. So they don't have to be humiliated in public that everyone knows that they are Bale Avera. Maybe the reason he's going back is that he was one of the three exceptions that we mentioned before. He just built a new house, he just got married, etc., etc. So this is an amazing thing that the Torah situated it in such a way that as to not humiliate a sinner, even though obviously we're not big fans of sinners, nevertheless, we are chas on their covered as well. Moving to Pasuk Yud Beis, the Imlos Hashlim Imach Vasasa Imacha Milchama. So now this is talking about if you want to fight against the nation, Milchemes Rishus. So if you you want to make peace with them. Then if they don't want to make peace with you, then you can avitzarta Allah. You can lay siege to their city. So Rashi Divar Maschil the Im Los Hashlim Imcha Imcha Milchama Kasim Vasrecha Sheim Los Hashlim Imcha. If you can't actually make peace with you, so then Sofali Lachim Bcha. So in the end, they're going to come to fight you if you just leave them alone. Don't think, whatever, we don't have to be at war with them, we don't have to be at peace with them. No, if they're not going to make official peace with you, it's going to lead to a long, drawn-out war. So you can lay siege to them. You can starve them out, you can dehydrate them, you can lay a real siege, and you don't have to worry that they're going to die from hunger and thirst and illness. That's part of war. You're allowed to wage war so that you can actually win. Fine. Moving to Pasuk Yud Tes. Kisatsur el ir yamim rabim li lachem aleha l'sofsa. If you lay siege to a city for many days to fight against it, to try to capture it, lo sashchis es etza lindoach alav garzen. You cannot destroy the trees to put an axe to them. Because they give off fruit. You eat from them, and therefore we don't want you to cut them down. Because man is a tree of the field to come against you in a siege. So Rashi tells you, how are you supposed to read this pasuk? So Rashi says, you have to read it with a question mark at the end. Supposed to read the word ki as maybe, is it so? Shema ha'adam eitz sadeh, is a person a tree? Meaning you're there to fight the people. You're not there to fight the fruit trees. You're not there to chop down trees and destroy fruit, you know, fruit bearing things that Hashem put in the world. You're trying to starve out the trees. What you want to make, you know, give it a hunger like the people of the city. Why should you cut it down? Why should you destroy it? Let's move to Perek Chaf Aleph. We'll do Pasuk Dalid. So now we're talking about the case of Egla Arufa. You find a body, you don't know which city it belongs to. Vaharidu Zikneha Irahi Esha Egla El Nachale Son. Right, you should bring this Egla, this cow, this calf, to a barren riverbed, a barren valley. Asher Lo Yavebo V'lo Yizareya. Nothing was worked there. Nothing is planted there. Va'arfu Shamas Egla B'Nachale. You chop off the back of its head, back of its neck. In this valley. So Rashi here says, Dir Ramaskal v'arfu, kotzeitz erpa b'kupitz, you chop it off on the back with an axe, or with some type of a butcher cleaver. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, tavar egla bashnasa shelo asas aperos, let a one-year-old calf that did not give off any fruit, didn't have any children, and let it be killed in a place that doesn't give off any peros, doesn't give off any seeds and fruits, to be a kapara for this poor fellow who was killed and was not allowed to have any children further in the world. And then we have the Ziknei Ha'ir come together. Rashi already told us this is referring to the Sanhedrin. V'anu v'amiru yadena lo shafchu es hadam hazeh. We did not kill this person. We didn't spill this blood. Ve'inenu lo ro'u. And we did not see who did it. So Rashi here asks a simple question. V'chi olsa alev sheziknei beizden shokhe damhe. What, we think this, the members of the Sanhedrin are murderers? God forbid. Ela lo re'inu upatarnu below mezonos below levaya. We didn't see this poor fellow leaving and let him go without giving him care packages for the way and without escorting him for his safety. So this is not actually our fault.